Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Human Rights Demand. This is the Strongheart Warrior Society with your host, Mr. Shanupa Mani. Mr. Shanupa Mani.
Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank you so much for coming to join us.
Hello. Thank you for joining us today.
And we appreciate you joining us. I want you to know, don't mind the echo. We have Quintel Pro on the line with us. Welcome, Quintel Pro. As you know, Quintel Pro watches Native Americans, African Americans, and all people of color while we're on the phone or the internet. And so we want to welcome Quintel Pro to the show. And most of all, we want to welcome our star host, Mr. Shanupa Mani. And he will present his show to you. Mr. Mani, I want you to know that even though we're supposed to be on the air 2 hours, they have you with another 25 minutes on the clock. However, you can continue your show much longer than that, and people who are not joining us now will be able to come back and listen to the entire show archived at Blog Talk Radio. So don't feel like your show ends in 25 minutes. It doesn't. But they will shut us down off of the internet in 25 minutes. And I want to ask Quintel Pro to stop changing my times when I set them. All the daytime shows at Human Rights Demand are set for 2 hours. Please stop changing them back to 30 minutes. I pay monthly fees to have 2 hours, and it's wrong of you to cheat me by changing it back to 30 minutes. None of these shows should be set for 30 minutes. So, Quintel Pro, NSA, or whoever you are, please stop going behind me and editing the time I set for my show. Go right ahead, Mr. Mani. Welcome to Human Rights Demand.
Thanks, Mary.
I want to let you know that you have two callers on the line with you. The numbers that are on the line with you, they are counting your number. We have 5639, we have 1547, and we have 2661. So I ask everybody to please go ahead and get in a quiet environment, because everything that happens is heard on the air, and it can interfere with people's ability to hear if we have background noise. And also, I want to invite the radio audience to call at 347-857-3293. So get in a quiet place so that you will not put in background noise, because you're all live and on the air. Go ahead, Mr. Shanupa.
Well, thank you, Mary. Once again, this is the Strongheart Warrior Society coming at you live on Indigenous Radio and, on Block Talk, Human Rights Demand. First of all, I wanted to welcome the other two guests that are on the phone lines. They're welcome to step in any time. First of all, this weekend was an extraordinary event. We just got done with one of our local Sundances outside the reservation, where we participate with a lot of our brothers and sisters in a renewal of our spiritual, our practice and so forth. But today's show is about, the original, intent about, asserting our international, avenues and instruments pertaining to the treaty agreements of 1851 and 1868, where a lot of these agreements were made with the Lakota people, meaning the Sioux, but the independent nation state, as it's noted in history, in a political, autonomy by, Francis Paul Prucha. It's supported by the U.S. Supreme Court's opinion when you look at, Johnson versus McIntosh, 21 U.S. 543 and then 545, back in 1823 of North America. So you can, kind of get an understanding of how the distinction of our people are continuing to serve, the purpose of our independence and get back into it, the dependent nation status, where we rely on ourselves and being productive within the international communities. The Lakota's independence is what was really, you know, vested upon a matriarchal system done, you know, against time immemorial, where we were all yet unborn and so forth. Overall, you know, that's kind of the avenue of what our topics are going to be today, and then about the incarceration rates of our tribal members and many others of color, and then about the abuse of certain groups attacking family members and so forth. So let's welcome the other two to the radio show. Go right ahead and introduce yourselves.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Carmelita Iniguez. I was on the longest walk for back here when they did the walk for Indigenous Sovereignty and Native American Awareness that went from Washington, D.C. to Alcatraz. I would just like to say that, I mean, I agree with everything that Chimp is here saying and everything, and I think it's a lot of things that a lot of different people from our Native community needs to sit there and realize that they're just fighting against each other. They're disrespecting each other. They're not sitting here, you know, stepping up and taking care of what they really need to. I mean, instead of fighting each other, I don't understand why people won't sit there and, you know, take care of each other. Be there for each other instead of sitting there acting like they're not, you know, like they're not Native or they're too good for one another. I mean, I just feel that, you know, from being on the walk, that's what happened. Me and my kids were on that. We were disrespected. They were young kids that were sitting there being yelled at and treated like dirt from other Natives, or, well, you know, that were from other different organizations, you know. And, I mean, that's not what this is about. You know, I think just, like, different people need to step up and open their eyes. What are we really about?
Carmelita, if I may interject something, can you give, you know, an illustration and a list of the people that kind of, you know, purposely, you know, desecrated you and the values of your children?
Well, okay, there was a couple different situations. Like the Carl Badger Sampson, he sat there and assaulted an elder, threw him down and choked him. And that person was, and that Carl Bad Bear Sampson was still allowed to be on that walk when it's not about any kind of anger and disrespect, especially to our elders. That same guy sat there and threw my 7-year-old son's tennis shoe off the back of a truck. I mean, it's just, him and his dad, Buck Bad Bear Sampson, or Buck Sampson, sat there and disrespected me. It scared my kids, threatened all the walkers, and still all these people still glorified him. When in reality, they didn't even do anything. I mean, even the other logistics, Michael Lane and his wife, Sharon Hetha, what did they do? I mean, they were pocketing. There was no NPO number. There was nothing. I mean, there was many times where we were left without food. And when I started speaking out, what happened? Me and my 3 kids were kicked off the walk, threatened. I mean, left without no money, no car, no food, no nothing. Over right outside of Ely, Nevada. And, I mean, that's just wrong, I mean, to be sitting there, especially doing this to kids, when those kids would be out there just as much as those adults. I mean, it's just, or when my daughter wanted to stay over at the Cahokia Mountains, and she stayed up all night praying with some of the other walkers. And then that Carl sat there and made her feel like she shouldn't be up there. I believe that kids' prayers are more powerful than, you know, because they're pure. You know, they don't have all that anger and all that kind of stuff going through them. And those kids, they sat there and they were out there in that heat, out there in that cold, sleeping in tents, cooking over the fire, doing those kinds of things. And these kinds of people just don't even care. But they still continue to use my kids' pictures just to sit there and get more fun. They would sit there and still try and make us feel like we weren't worthy or that we weren't good enough to be on that walk. Many people sat there and said that we weren't even Native. You know, just stupidity. Just being immature and just stupid, really.
Well, you know something, listening audience, to answer one's understanding pertaining to these type of questions that are being conducted. If you had independence and you believed in your own freedom, none of this type of behavior would have been compelling to neutralize the basis of why our people are seeking their independence and the destruction of justice at the hands of the American government. You see, a majority of our people are trying so hard and so desperately to allow the international courts of justice to intervene on a more or less, you know, coherent and a consensus, you know, level. And this is the possible, you know, this type of possibility is the most accurate atonement that you can do to commerce on your type of, you know, jurisdiction to imply it to Native nations. Once you have Native status, and once you have the independence in place, there's nothing they can ever do to destroy you. See, this scarcity concept is why people are fighting against it. We become our worst enemies, and we start destroying each other within. But we never put the blame on the system or the opposite color of that man that created it. At the discretion of people that are hanging on to what little freedom of independence, you know, we still have. Caller number two, are you there? Caller number two, are you there? Hello? Well, caller number two might have jumped off. You know, the reason why the Lakota people and many other indigenous nations are seeking their direct, you know, input and their involvement on the international level. These children, like what this young lady's talking about, they have an opportunity to utilize their dignity. They have the opportunity to be a human being in the eyes of the beholder. And so the Lakota people, on the other hand, are seeking that type of illustration. Now, one has to answer something if they understand the difference between political and politics. We have to look at what is taking place pertaining, you know, any type of negotiation served on a country that does not have poverty implemented for the purpose of saving human beings, saving human life. So now you have people, you know, talking, you know, it's like now the disruption on the radio. I can hear have background noise. You have people talking out loud. They want to listen, but yet they don't want to take the time and honor and respect to really be quiet and have a balance of it. You see, that's how America teams situations. The American society is noisy. They're always into something. I mean, from their children clear up to their grandfathers. But the reality we've tried to implement is that focus about what is independent and why is independence so, you know, important for the people that are seeking a recourse to become free. They're sick and tired of that, you know, Eurocentric mindset being part of that, you know, American melting pot. And so the relationship that we continue to provide, admissible, the outcome is to exercise that point of reality. Now keep in mind, folks, when we occupied Wounded Knee in 1973, we declared our independence during that time. So there's validity still illustrated there. I believe the late Russell Means came out with a book called Where White Man Feared a Tread. And there's illustrations of what we have done in that book. And I believe Dennis Banks came out with a book similar. And then there's a book out there by the late, he's actually my uncle, Raymond Yellow Thunder. And so Peter Matheson written this book about him. And so there's illustrations in that how racism continues to assert that type of barbaric, you know, bipolar disorder at the hands of the American system. And states and counties and reservations and cities, they are obligated to implement that same type of behavior because the powers through Congress allows them to supersede them type of human rights violations, when in fact the world nations did not allow a country that's still under occupation to have that type of characteristic and the validity to destroy law. And that's what the American people are doing. This is why the corporations write law and the American government carry out those orders. That's the problem in this country. So this is why a majority of our people are getting away, because they're sick and tired of living under that yoke of slavery. Now, again, I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. When you have the Native people, which is the Red Nations, you have the Asian people, which is, you know, the Yellow Nation, then you have our Hispanic brothers and sisters, and they too are part of the Red Nations from the southern of Little Sister Land. And then you have our African nations, which are the Black Nation people that are here in the country called Turtle Island. If you look at a majority of them and you understand the concept of what Eurocentric means, Eurocentric means that a majority of those four races of people are trying so hard not to give up their privileges, and they want to stay recognized in the eyes of the beholder to be like him, dress like him, dye their color like him, and do all sorts of unhealthy value systems that they are privileged to do. See, white America doesn't want you to hang on to tradition, culture, language, and a future of freedom. No, he wants you to be like him so you can continue to be codependent on him. Now, every now and again, he'll rub your back and say, oh, you poor little Indian, I'm sorry. Did the government give you your piece of cheese? Did you get your box of cheese, little Indian, or any person of color? Did you get your WIC checks? Y'all come here, my little poor people in the city. Did you get your little WIC checks? You see, this is how hateful and heinous white America is. So when we're seeking independence, 2007 was a remarkable history when the Lakota Oyates Freedom Delegation went to Washington, D.C. and denounced their citizenship on December 19th on the legal grounds. And most people don't understand that, because you have people, oh, what, they didn't consult with us. Well, we don't have to. If America deprives you of protecting you, you have a right to denounce your citizenship under constitutional law and international law. You see, this form of government did not allow you to accept it because you were still a fetus in life, being born into a world that you didn't create. Does it make sense, folks? Yes, it does. So this is why the consensus of the Lakota people are seeking the international courts of justice to supersede these issues that are being thrown down the citizens' throat, and the indigenous people are encountering that. And so for our brothers, you know, remember, on the 26th and 27th of July, there's a Conquest of Independence Summit going on in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the Encino Gardens Hotel. And so we urge people to go there. We urge people to come and get involved. You know, you have to exercise your independence or any type of rights that are yours. If you don't, they get taken from you. And so then when your head becomes full of, you know, all these falsified implementations by the American county system, state system, tribal systems, or whatever the mechanism could be, you will see you become a failure, because all the judiciary remedies that you exhaust are not forthcoming. They never have been, and they never will. What we're saying is for people to get up and start exercising those godforsaken rights that were given to you under the natural structure of law, which the great mystery and Mother Earth created for you. And time is minimal on these radio shows, but Strongheart will be having a 7-day show hourly. If there's some guests that want to get involved with this, come to call in and get in. I got a caller coming in.
you know.
So now,
I want to welcome you all to the radio show. This is Mary Neal, Human Rights Demand. I don't know if Mr. Shanuka was still speaking.
Yes,
there are all three guest callers on the line, and I wondered if you want me to put 3377-1547-2661-6-5639. You're all live and on the air. Mr. Shanuka, you're welcome to call on your guests.
Yes, I told, you know, the guests are welcome to come on and pick up where I left off. I don't want to hear excuses that you lost the numbers or any of that. I don't want to hear that, listening audience. Either you're real about these independents and you got stuff that's going on, and, you know, you got to really find a chance to step up and do it. These are important things that we're sharing with the international community, because those problems are rising in this country still. And we have to assert, man, our accountability to be accountable for what's happening. And so, any of the other listening audiences, are you still there with us?
Yeah,
yes,
I'm here.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Somebody start in.
Charles.
Go ahead.
No, you go. You go right ahead,
yes.
Sean.
This is Josh calling in from San Carlos, Arizona, the Apache Reservation down here, on behalf of the Chiricahuas, and we're voicing our perspective that that's absolutely the case, that the independence is necessary, and it's the time of an awakening that is far and wide, and that these welfare states that are basically propped up federalized governments need to be recognized for what they are. And that it's the time of the people to come forward and become independent and free. For once in the history of the Native American communities, the people need to speak for themselves. And there are nations that are emerging, whether they're federally recognized or not. Just like any other international state or nation, it's self-recognition first, not recognition by someone else. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, we can.
Yeah. So the Chiricahua Nation is standing on its own 2 feet. It's not subsidized. It's not federalized. And for once in more than 500 years now, we are able to have a free voice that can be heard internationally. We have our own assets, our own posterity that we're regaining. We have our own elders. We're recovering our culture, our language, all of the above. We have no blood quantum. That's the most racist system in the world. What other nation in the world requires people to have a card for who they are, whether they're a Chinese card or an African card or a Jewish card? There's no such thing. And so a piece of paper doesn't make you who you are. It's in the blood. And it's descendantry. It's passed down through thousands of years of oral history, traditional history, and culture. It's about living your culture. So that's what we want to voice today.
Well, I thank you for that, Brother Chuck. You know, is there another caller on the line? Toby, is you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Go right ahead.
Orale. I'd like to thank the sister for coming on, and that Chiricahua brother too. So that's pretty amazing. You guys are, feeling what's going on and really fulfilling your responsibility, you know, in this time, you know. And I'd like to, say to a lot of natives out there, you know, listening, you know, there's been a lot of shadow dancing in the, you know, the native activist, quote-unquote, community, and a lot of these leaderships of these organizations that claim to represent us that really don't, you know. Indigenous native people, you know, non-traditionals, you know, a lot of you guys really have to really wake up and understand that none of the things that they've forcefully imposed on us for the past 500 years is healthy or beneficial to our people. And none of these things are healthy or beneficial to any natural aspect of this earth or any other natural living, breathing entity, you know, or this universe in its totality. You know, their society, their self-destructive behavior and civilized way of life and laws, these things do not belong to us. They never have. We have our own ways. We have our own laws. And these ways and laws are as old and ancient as the ground you stand on. And these laws were not made by man, but they were given to us by the four-legged from Creator and from all of natural creation. And these laws exist only to maintain the sacred balance that was responsible for the health, the wealth, and the well-being of the entire natural living, breathing earth as a whole, and only as a whole, as one great organism made of many aspects, be it the birds, the grass, the sun, the sea, the soil, the Chiricahua, the Chichimeca, the Lakota, etc. You know, you have to understand and start to really claim, you know, and to really grasp the fact that we have inherent natural rights given to us by the natural living universe, by Creator, not by the self-proclaimed Great White Father. You need to stop giving him adherence. We were given those natural inherent rights as living beings, just like the four-legged and the trees and the winding plants and the winged ones and the finged ones. You know, we were given these natural inherent rights to live in a good way and to define our own existence from the soil, the sun, the sea, the same way we were born from it. And civilized man, the United States of America, and these other civilized countries, the IRA and tribal governments are withholding those rights from you. And they're withholding that freedom from us, from you and your children. These institutions are in breach of natural law. They're in flagrant violation of the only laws that exist in reality, the laws Creator gave all of creation to follow to maintain a sacred balance. This is nature's law. And I have to remind everyone listening as well, you know, like I said, there's been so much misdirection from these colonized Indians, these civilized, non-traditional Indians. I have to really say this and really make people understand this and grasp this with their heart. There is nothing within their system, by or from their system, that can rectify this violation and help us mend the hoop that they have broken. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And just like the Chiricahua brother was talking about, you know what I mean? Claiming your freedom, claiming your responsibilities as a human being, as an indigenous person, it doesn't come from paper. It's not come from the United States government. It doesn't even come from the UN. We don't need civilized recognition. You know, we don't need any type of recognition from these court systems. You know, these are things that our people have never relied on. These are systems of imbalance. You know, these are things that we do not need. We never need it, and we never will need them. A lot of our people need to come back into the understanding that we don't need this Great White Father to say, yes, you have the right to exist. You have the right to feed yourselves. You have the right to shelter your children and feed your children. You know, we have those rights inherently. The white man did not give us those rights. You know, these are inherent natural rights that Creator gave us, the four-legged gave us, that the natural living, breathing universe gave us. You know, this is a lot of our people have been lied to for so long. They've accepted this abuse, this type of enslavement, this forced civilization, and most damaging of all, they've accepted this process and living like this as natural. You know, and that's probably one of the most damaging things. You know, this is not a natural way to live. This is not a natural existence. This is a caustic, cancerous existence. This is us living as civilized people, us living under the thumb of the United States government, the tribal governments, the IRA, has turned us into just like them, a cancer, a blight upon our own territories, our own ancestral territories, our own continent, you know, upon the four-legged, upon the soil, the seas, you know, the rivers, you know. This cannot go on, you know. And I believe until our people really start you know, majority of our population is not really waking up and understanding that, you know, this problem really can be solved, you know. And the big thing that's standing in the way is a lot of the leadership of these groups. You know, I won't mention them, but I'm sure of you, a lot of who are involved in the fight for a long time probably know who I'm talking about. A lot of these leadership, these groups, you know, they're not traditional language speaking Indians. You know, they're not fighting to be indigenous. They don't want to be indigenous. You know, they don't want to sacrifice or give up one comfort from this cancerous society and system. You know, they adore this patriarchal, chauvinistic, rape mentality, self-destructive system. You know, they are, I guess the only problem with the system is they're not high enough up on the food chain. You know, they want to be the politicians themselves. They want to run their own hierarchy systems. They want to make the big money and the big power and profit more personally off of the terrorism these institutions inflict on this earth and the real indigenous population in all its various shapes and forms. You know, these tribal representatives, these IRA governments, these federally recognized tribal chairmen, etc. You know what I mean? These are the enemy. You know what I mean? Indian faces are not. You know, these are the enemy.
What the international community needs to understand is that these are former concentration camps, and we are descendants of prisoners of war. I live on the reservation here, and it's not a system of freedom, absolutely. Every reservation is near the same. These federal representatives are actually federal agents. They're branches of the federal government because they're fully subsidized. They cannot do anything that's not consistent with the federalized government. And look, you know, a government document or government status has nothing to do with real life. It has zero to do with real life. It's all about money. These reservations that are across the United States are impoverished, and it's because that they've been always underfunded. There's only enough to keep the elected officials in office, and these are federalized government agents. Most everybody that speaks on behalf of these entities are agents themselves. They either work for some type of federal agency or state agency or tribal, which is a federal agency. And so our people have become federalized in mindset. The decolonizing the mind is the best way to go. And the activism and the groups, we need to start talking and start acting. And acting in the way of standing up in self-recognition, recognizing each other, creating treaties amongst each other, and then getting proper representation of these national interests that are cultural and based and that are thousands and thousands of years old. We have not been exterminated. We're not extinguished. And it should be understood. Yeah, that's the system for what it is, all the labels and names that go with it. But once you realize what that is, there's no longer a need to attack it. The only thing that we need to do is to stand up and to represent our own interests. Because the federal system is just that. It's a governmental, political system that people as a culture have nothing to do with. If there are those of our people that want to participate, that's their issue. Really, the responsibility now is to stand as nations individually, collectively as a nation, because each nation's sovereignty is founded upon each individual's sovereign status. Aboriginal claim, Aboriginal title, all of these things need to be asserted immediately. From this day forward, there should be an awareness and awakening that these are our lands, these are our resources. This nation became wealthy upon our resources, upon the land that was taken away. Whatever is stolen is never rightfully owned. It will always remain as the indigenous people's homeland. And so in order to not to alienate yourself or the indigenous nations, there should be pride in being able to stand aside, stand separate, and say, this is who I am. It's really not about the vicious cycle of terrorism that arrived on these shores more than 500 years ago, because that's what that is. These Native communities have been terrorized for hundreds of years, and people have suffered this genocide. It's passed down 5 generations, and this needs to stop. There needs to be an awareness. We don't need to continue the pain and the cycle of aggression. What we need to do is have self-recognition, self-pride, and stand upon what is profoundly the most powerful thing on this land, which is the indigenous aboriginal right, the claim, your right to your heritage, your right to your identity. Nations need to create their own identification system, their own nation, so that other nations can recognize them and step away from this dependency, because it's nothing but a welfare state. All of these reservations are built to keep the masses down. There's only a handful on each reservation that does well, and they give them enough money to keep them in office, to support a really small percentage of each reservation. We come from an area of 15,000 people. Probably a few thousand people benefit from that federalized system. The rest of them suffer. There are elders that die every year on many reservations from heat exposure, from cold exposure. There's no water. There's no heated living conditions. There's no heated water. Unsanitary. It's a shame to this country that our communities are so impoverished in a third world status because they've been left behind. That day needs to end by indigenous people standing up and recognizing ourselves.
Happiness and holiness, not by whim or option, but as the foundation of the home. The generation of children of the perfect social order, and so it must remain until the end of time.
Hello?
Go ahead,
you're on the air.
Oh.
Everyone out there, okay? Yeah. Everyone out there, I don't care if you're struggling in it or not, you're all quasi-sovereign. So to retain that understanding, you have to have the absolute independence to exercise that sovereignty, or it's going to get taken from you. So the Lakota people and many others rejected that type of pronunciation. So when you have allodial title to define your own territorial boundaries due to the initiatives and the initial breaches of your obligations, that when you take that type of entonement as aboriginal shareholders of this territory, then the U.S. will understand that you are relinquishing away from that system. So a majority of all the legal rights to that territory and jurisdiction, I don't care if it's by treaty or mutual agreements, not that they're subject to that type of res judicata and the terra nullis and the papal bull. You have to get back to the full press independence of your sovereignty, because this indoctrination continues to allow you to give superiority to the white man's language. You have a language, ladies and gentlemen. And the world nations, when they talk in the United Nations, they're talking it in their own language. And that's what indigenous people need to exercise. If we say we're Lakota or whoever the nation is, we need to act like that. We need to support that language with that. Mitakiebi, and I'll share this in just in a little brief understanding. Mitakiebi, lechala, we are now we chasha glena taka iwogla taki, hena iese to be. Ask any hush nile, mila huska ta we chocha, na we choiki, na haksi umpi, na hena washtesni mitakiebi. Ask toha, taka wash, ake sita oluspik, na ha, toka taki oyate glena oichaki, se hunta, zania lechuse, wola koto ogna hechuse iralokte, hechano sniki ake. Mila haska kilena iya pina nicha sokte na techio nichu okte na ake nicha kizokte kena eches etiopi na lila mila haska kilila wamanu tanta echa chatua taku wa kanki wansi o speech aki abanta iecha iya okte na maska ogna kamana okte kena isha yanke asko any eches e kuchoyo ogna egna kapsni Aspunkie, le chatin tizo kola kiche, leam petu na aket hokata unyongte ki, lechus e hon ki trompi. You know, our language is a proven fact that if we don't get back to those bases and address those issues rather than asserting the white man's intent, then goddammit, we're going to lose what remaining freedom we have, and it's here. So a majority of you that are struggling to get back with that. The American system is in a grave violation through its own constitution of that declaration when it was first defined by the Iroquois Confederacy. Now, we're not reinventing the wheel here. What we are doing is exercising our primitive and natural ability to be free, because that's where independence is. And if you want it, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to act on it, or it's going to get taken from you. And you don't have to prove anything to the system. My brother just explained something. He says, by exercising your identity, that's the clause of how you're going to open up the door to the 22nd century where we're all going. And after we're dead and gone, then and only then can the remaining people continue where we left off. It's not only happening to the red nations. It's happening to the yellow nations, the African nations, and it's happening to our brothers and sisters. Look at how the white man is fighting them by preventing them from coming in, and they're saying they're illegal immigrants. The white man is the illegal immigrant, and many others. Look what they're doing. They give different nation status to people that come into my country. They give them tons and tons of money. But when it comes to First Nations people and people that are already inhabiting this area, we're left without. This is the type of issues we need to get back to the basics, because the only way you're going to have a successful independence, you've got to exercise it with its intent. And that's how a lot of the indigenous people are struggling, because, you know, right now, as I said, and not to get off the subject, the U.S. is violation on the U.N. United Nations Genocide Declaration. There's a proven article about that. Remember, it was Russia that filed a complaint against the world courts about what America was doing. And now a lot of the people are waking up. I mean, look what happened in Denver, Colorado. Their cops and the police departments are being investigated. And look at what happened in Albuquerque. But keep in mind when the federal government comes in to talk to these people and do an investigation, the federal government's going to try to show them a more easier and simple way of killing people. That's what they're going to do. That's what they call counterintelligent programming, counterintelligent training. It's never going to stop. It's never going to go away until you challenge that justice system. And I urge every nation out there to file federal court cases against this American system. The Lakotas are the only one that have one pending in case. It's pending. Oh. And the federal courts recognize that understanding. So irregardless of where we're going with it, we have to declare that on an international status, or it's never going to go anywhere. And to my listening audience and you other brothers, you guys go right ahead to where I left off. I want to hear more.
The indigenous nations need to stand simply because the contradiction will not be known until it is understood that there are traditional nations that are here in this country. And too long these federalized institutions have purportedly spoken for the people, and that's not true. The U.S. government points to the tribal federalized tribes and says that is the voice of the people. That is the furthest thing from the truth. Down here in San Carlos, the majority of the people don't even vote because they know that that's not part of their system, and they quietly persevere, and that time is coming to an end. You know, there's a great fear because of the persecution of the indigenous peoples in the United States. Just look at Leonard Peltier as an example, and that's just one person. That brother's been sitting up there falsely in prison because of a political prisoner status. And Native nations are none the different. Whether it's in Leavenworth or in the federal penitentiary or the reservations, which are basically federal penitentiaries, I mean, the lifestyle is probably worse than having three meals a day and a place to sleep, because many of our people are just forgotten. The federalized tribes, they represent their own interests, their own self-proclamation, their own personal gain. And you can see it time and time again from Navajo Nation, Peter McDonald, and others that have been indicted for embezzlement and taking from their own people's mouths. And never in any reservation in this country has every single tribal member been taken care of. Look at the tribes in California that are de-enrolling their membership based off distributions of casino worth. And so this day is here to call attention and to an end of the most racist system in this world, as blood quantum and this whole concept of federalizing the mind, because that's not the truth. That's not reality. It has nothing to do with life. Many of us are persecuted for speaking out, but actually there's nothing to lose anymore, you know, except for your dignity. One must be able to stand on their own two feet and say, this is who I am. And that's what the independence is about. It's no different than with the Iroquois, the perfect foundation, the understanding that of the people, whether it's Navajo, Diné, Chiricahua, and Diné, or Nakota, Dakota, Nakota, these are the traditional nations, and it's time for our people to speak on their own behalf. We don't need paid-off leadership. We don't need the political corrupted system to be able to speak for us anymore. And, you know, get on, get up and get out. Get up and get active. Be productive out there. And be able to have a voice, with a free voice, by declaring your independence, by self-proclamation, self-recognition. And let's see more nations coming together, like the Chiricahua and the Lakota, coming together to make agreements and treaties which are more profound than anything that has been put upon us in the last 500 to 700 years. That's our word from the Chiricahua.
That is remarkably said. And once again, folks, the Chiricahua and the Apache and the Lakota Nation will be joining forces again on the 26th and the 27th in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of July 2014. Once again, 26th and 27th, the Chiricahua and the Lakota will be joining forces in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the Ingenio Gardens Hotel. Everyone is welcome. I mean, this is a great, you know, involvement in history of what nations can do when you assert your freedom of independence. Tobias and Carmelita, are you guys still there? Hello? The other audience there? Well, as we continue on, you know, it's been a tremendous day today to share both, you know, feelings of intent, you know, pain, sorrow, anger, and all this from the above. One always has to keep in mind that this structure that has been waged upon us is going to come to an end when you start getting people tireless of living under the same type of provision that man perpetuates his power of control to keep the system alive. And once and for all, indigenous nations, get off the codependency of alcohol and drugs and pharmaceutical. Man, I'm getting sick and tired of our people calling and telling us, hey, you know, the tribal courts took my kids, or the city courts, man, to place my kid in the non-native basketball family because of stipulations. God dang it, if you keep asserting that behavior to allow the white man to control you through his pharmaceuticals, through his alcohol, and through his street drugs, then he will do just that to cultivate you, to keep you under that yoke of slavery. It's never going to stop. It's never going to go away until you recognize your freedom of independence. But once and for all, indigenous people, start believing in who yourself. That's who you are. If you believe in yourself, you know who you are. And then the independence can become so pure and rapidly grown that this system will back off, knowing that he cannot penetrate your soul of existence, because now, as we're talking, we have families being divided through grandfathers and grandmothers. We have families torn apart because of that system. Just like my brother up in Chiricahua was saying, if we're going to be the indigenous and start exercising our aboriginal titles to our territory, then goddammit, we got to do it with independence. And to our African brothers and sisters, stand together with us, not solidarity. If you stand together with the people that are struggling for freedom, you have accountability. You have the assertions of power to change something. If one can change himself, you can change the world. And this is what we're talking about. Crazy Horse did it. Sitting Bull did it. Rain in the Face did it. No Ears did it. Gaul did it. And many other nations. Geronimo, Cochise, Nazi, all of them done it. A lot of the great African people that ran out of slavery, man, they've done it. They paved the way of opportunity for everybody. And Pancho Villa, and Manuelito, and Don Quixote, these guys did the same thing to stand up to that type of corruption, just so you can have an identity of who you are, not what you are. You see, I get sick and tired of that, too, when our people dress just like the white man. If you like this type of provisional government, if you like this provisional system from a county, state, reservation level, then shut up and live that way and quit using that power of authority to destroy your people. Keep destroying yourself. I'm tired of all this because nobody's waging a war against the American system. No one's waging war against the American citizen. Look at what they're doing. You still have even theirs digging out of dumpsters just to eat. Where's their sovereignty? Where's their freedom? I thought they have a right to believe in themselves, but you're taking it from them. In every major city in this country, look at how inevitable it is as this yoke of slavery continues to destroy people. I mean, today is so brilliant that majority of our brothers and sisters come out and latching this understanding with its full intent. And our brother of the Chiricahua Nation, Charles, if you're still there, man, carry on, man, where you can.
You know, the world needs to understand this culture of pharmaceuticals came from Indian country. It came from IHS. Besides the sterilization program where they sterilized our women, for decades, for 50, almost 100 years now, the sterilization, unauthorized, unconsented sterilization has taken place. And under the auspice of providing health care, they developed a culture of pharmaceuticals through the governmental agencies and through the distribution. You know, the biggest drug dealers on reservations is the IHS, Indian Health Services. There's more addicted to pharmaceutical drugs than ever before. And it's a very big problem on every reservation. Confinement has brought about such a disease of not only drug and alcohol abuse, but family relations, incestual relationships that need to be recognized. We're not saying these things in a negative way. We're saying it to bring light to it so that it could be understood. On the Dene Reservation and out in California, the tribes have been limited in how their young people are able to marry, and so they marry within their clan, they marry within their family, and you get a lot of inbred problems. And recognizing our indigenous authority, our right to assert, will free us from these illnesses. San Carlos here, they tested Agent Orange on us for the world's first case of Agent Orange. It was put upon the people, and the people are stricken now with mutations, the genome mutant, and it's caused a lot of our people to become dependent and handicapped to the point where they can't speak for themselves. You know, these are all instruments of not only divide and conquer, but to continue the dependency so that the communities are disabled. They're dosed up, they're drugged up, they're alcoholed up. Many tribes sell alcohol to their own people. And the military, when they started to believe, they did this with the understanding that they taught our own people to oppress our own. And that's what the world needs to understand. There's not the freedoms to speak out on the reservations against the federalized system, or you're cut off from benefits, you're cut off from services, you're ostracized, you're blackballed, you're labeled. And these are the terrorists, not the people that are moving for indigenous freedom, for the right of the culture. These are the real warriors. These are the societies of the people. And, you know, we're at a day and age where all of this is coming to an end. The contradiction will be seen with the indigenous nation coming forward to be able to speak for themselves. The perfect union, the understanding of freedom, the understanding of self-right and respect is founded, is understood within the indigenous cultures of this whole land. North to south, from the First Nations down to the South America. You know, South America and Mexico are predominantly indigenous people. They've been told they're mestizos, Mexican, mixed blood, and that's not true. The majority of the people are indigenous, and they've been shamed and down into being fearful of identifying themselves for who they are. It's a very small group of people who control the system, and that needs to be understood. The indigenous peoples are very powerful. Call upon your identity as Aztecas, as Mayan, as Incas, as the great nations that stood, because your blood is so strong and it still stands to this day. There are the codex of the Mayans that are still being understood. They're finally being deciphered by their own people, not interpreted by European or eccentric anthropologists and others that are trying to interpret a language not their own. So finally, the Mayan codex, the Hopi, also have our history recorded for more than 5,000 years. And it's a hope. You know, it's like we were made to be dummied down. That's just not true. Some of the most intelligent people on this planet, or on this continent, it's where 70% of the world's food comes from. Those staple food of potatoes, of pepper plants, of tomatoes, of all of these indigenous plants. It fed the world and it saved Europe. The medicine, the pharmaceutical industry is based off shamanic understanding of natural plants and healing. They synthesize, they purify, they turn our medicines into poison. They turn our medicines into addictive drugs. The coca plant was a medicine to heal. Now it's turned into cocaine. The blue stone that we pray and heal with is turquoise, was turned into copper for war. They turn into bullets. And so from north to south, our medicines have been turned to poison, and our histories have been tainted. And we teach our people that they know nothing when that's not the case. We have taught the world many things. We need to own that history. We need to own that intelligent knowledge. We need to be able to stand on what was so profound as some of the most powerful nations in this world. You know, the Egyptians and the Vedic, the Indians from the Far East, and the ancient cultures of China, they recognize themselves, but there is no more profound existence in this world of a people than the indigenous peoples of this Turtle Island. It is so strong, it has influenced the world, and this day we need to step forward to reclaim our identity, to reclaim our heritage, to make the assertion of Aboriginal title, Aboriginal claim over airwaves, over our intellectual knowledge, over our medicine, over our people, culture, and history.
You know, back to where my brother left off right there. Ladies and gentlemen, these type of issues are yours. A majority of people will never take the opportunity and time to include you in what is happening today. You know, the whole world is under attack, okay? And it's these Zionist people, it's these Bilderbergs, it's these shadow governments, and it's all these racial radical movements that want to deprive you of your independence. And so when you see and hear brothers like myself and my brother of the Chiricahua Nation exercising these independence, it's for your information to better yourselves and for our brothers and sisters of the other colors, you know, the African and the yellow man. We want you guys to stand together in doing the same thing because you too are under attack constantly. And it takes a series of catalyst people to bring that mindset to life. It's never going to go away until we change that sick, you know, ordinance of that mentality against a man that continues to destroy people. The whole shadow government wants you all gone. And if we allow him to achieve that, what's the use of me and my Cherokee brother being on this radio show telling you the reality that is being, you know, foretold in front of your eyes? If your heart is not capable of waking it up because it's, you know, construed through some type of chemical or liquid dependency, get off it. Get off it, ladies and gentlemen. It's sad that our people are continuing to use that as a crutch to define who their own existence is. You are an indigenous people. You are an African person. You are an Asian person. You don't have to utilize that American concept to idolize that type of mentality. You are a free person. The great mystery gave to this ability to have this type of opportunity to live in harmony. And it's this type of paradise that gives you the ability of freedom. All the fruits and vegetables and the meats that are here are yours. Look at what we're doing. According to what my brother just said, it's true. You look at the industrial, you know, complexes. Look at the industries. Every semi-truck that goes by, that's what feeds you. That's what feeds you, people. Get up, man, and help us. Let's get together and start changing this. And start creating our own understanding through karma's exchange the way we used to. It's not an easy thing. It's a hard thing. But once you start moving, it becomes so easy that you can't turn it off. You ask my brother, because the independence of what they're exercising in Chiricahua country is the same way the Lakota Nation is asserting it with their identity. And when these nations band together on the 26th and the 27th in Albuquerque, New Mexico this weekend, it's going to be a blessing in itself and a great honoring to write history and look forward for a better future for generations to come and the yet unborn. We are paving an opportunity for them not to struggle and suffer and be caught up in this mindset of abuse, of this eurocentric mentality at the behavior of this bipolar disordered American system. You are all part of that. You are all welcome to be free. Come join us and see history into making. Brother, do you have anything else to add on?
Thank you for helping the nations and shattering the illusion, because that's what it is. It's a frail veil of deception and lies. And I just want to say, out to all our people out there, have no fear. Stand on the treaties of Cochise and the people before, because we are a great, strong people, a strong nation. We number in the hundreds of thousands, if not more than a million, and we are worldwide, so we make our voices heard and clear, and we thank the Creator for this time and opportunity to express ourselves. I may lose you because I got to go over the hill, but thank you, brother, for making things clear and reality, and may Creator walk with you.
Thank you. You know, folks, when brothers like this are stepped to that type of reality in our predicaments in life, we always, and I mean we always have that ability to recognize the great mystery of Mother Earth. You see, those are the only two people that never left us unattended. They never, not even the four-legged has done it, not even the winged creatures. You see, the indigenous continents of people inhabited that type of provision at the great mysteries we question guidance, and they're still here. And Mother Earth has been doing the same thing. And remember, all people of color, I don't care if you're Asian, I don't care if you're African, I don't care if you're indigenous, it doesn't matter. You all have a name for your sacred God. You also have a name for your sacred mother. And we need to start exercising them. Most of all, we need to start loving one another. That's the most important philosophy. Our children are being driven into extinction because that mindset is taken away from them, is that identity of who they are. Look at our children in preschool being attacked. So many rules and restraints being driven before them. I urge everybody, the teacher in your school, at home, to teach the schools of indigenous teaching and African teaching at home to your children. That stuff doesn't work anymore. It's destroying them. Look at them. There's more legislation being passed again. And when this African president, he leaves office, it's going to be a scary time for all of us, because these Caucasian folks are on the verge, man. They're going to start rising up and coming at us again. So while all these things are taking place in a spiritual, connection, we need to quit allowing them to enter the circle that doesn't belong to them. Don't try a white man's country club. It's too people to let you in there. He's going to shut the door on you because your virtue is not acceptable. If we can't recognize ourselves as who we are, create our own country club, then we become that failure to saving the generation that's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, today is a great day for us to continue to assert, you know, independence and understanding. And Mary, I'm looking forward to the 7-day broadcast show. Folks, Strong Heart's going to be advancing into a stronger predicament of, you know, rather than going once a week, we're going to start doing 7 days a week and exercise. I need guests to call me. Call me and help me because I am very computer illiterate. And somebody can stand together with me and start asserting this. And I don't want none of you COINTELPRO people. I don't want anybody that understands that type of mentality that tries to put Barry under pressure and different other obligations. You know, I'm sick and tired of that when people are trying to bring the goodwill of understanding, because we've tried education, we've tried sitting in church, we've tried all the things and listening to your type of provisional understanding, and it don't work anymore. And it's been 514 years that we've been fighting this wage against us to destroy us, and not one indigenous person turned white, not one African person turned white, not one Asian person turned white, and my Hispanic brothers and sisters from South, not one of them turned white. It's the system. You want to be like a white man, you want to dress like him, dye your hair, dress like him and skip your past, then stay over there and quit complaining. Quit protecting them. And that's what happens in America. Thank you, Mary, for having us. And I look forward from hearing from everybody else on a great day. And thanks for all the people that came on today. It's been a blessing at the Strong Heart Warrior Society's involvement of continuing to share more of our involvement of the independence and the structure of where we're going. Thank you, Mary. You have a great day. And listening audience that came in, thank you guys for having us, man, to test our issues about our independence. Okay.